This is Leafs Nation Postgame.
Let's go!
With Gord Stelic and Mark Savard. Brought to you by your local GTA Acura dealers. Visit yours today.
Matthews gets it to Marner again, though, and it's spun back to the near point to Nylander, who waits for it. Down to the goal line to Marner. A shot scores! Tavares in front of the net! Okay, that was way too easy. Even with a 5-on-3, that was way too easy.
Well, John Tavares, and hoping he maybe saved one of those for tomorrow night when he returns to Long Island. But the night it was, 12 different Maple Leaf players getting at least a point. John Tavares, a goal and an assist. One of six Toronto Maple Leaf goals in a 6-2 win over the Edmonton Oilers. We welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. We call it the walk to the subway. A lot of people taking the subway tonight. I took the subway with all the snowy weather down here. The best way to get down to Scotiabank Arena. And, we chat as we walk, but it was...
You think Jared took the subway?
I think Jared bought a subway and took a subway at the same time at the station. It was 1-0 Edmonton. Three consecutive games, the Leafs have not started on time. They are outshot 13-2, but that is a distant memory. This is an ugly, ugly Edmonton Oilers team we saw tonight. Oh. Before we break down the Toronto Maple Leafs, this was as ugly a team I've seen at Scotiabank Arena this year.
It's sad, Gord. It really is, and to think the Oilers have come to this and with the best player in the world is just mind-boggling. And Draisaitl is a nice hockey player as well, Gord. He's easily a top 20 player in this league today. And to watch this team in disarray is real unsettling, if that's the way to say it. Just to watch them have no real chance tonight, besides that first goal, which was a beautiful goal by Draisaitl. This game was pretty much over.
Well, we always look down. This is the one visit to friends and families. They meet at a certain area there and wait. It's the Oilers' only visit. We know Connor McDavid is a local guy, so he's got lots of friends and family coming. What a terrible visit. They got to catch a bus, go to Ottawa, which you got to beat the Ottawa Senators because everybody does right now. But, you thought Connor McDavid returning. John Tavares said he'll play like he's shot out of a cannon tonight. And just maybe they'll start on that roll because nobody seems to want the West. If you want to get on a roll, St. Louis Blues have shown it. You got a chance in the West. They don't got a chance.
They have no chance, Gord. No chance at all. And, it's really upsetting. And I don't know how else to put it. They're wasting years of the best player maybe. The best player of this era now in the world, they're just wasting his years. And I don't know where you break this thing down first, and that's the problem.
Well, again, does it go back to the simplest thing? Just as last night Jordan Binnington got another shutout for the St. Louis Blues, for example, Edmonton has a 1-0 lead. Then the second period, the Maple Leafs get four unanswered goals in the span of 8 minutes. And, the one especially that was super short side by Nylander, Mikko Koskinen out, Anthony Stolarz in. Like, how often have we seen this picture? It's 36-36 shots on goal at the end of the game. Freddie Anderson's the third star of the game, which, if you're getting to the three stars, you kind of go, wait, it's a 6-2 game. Goaltenders don't get picked when you score six goals. But you know what? The timely saves. I'm just saying more from Edmonton. How much is it just that simply for them about not getting the goaltending?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. But
then it was everything. I don't know.
Then it was everything.
But it just seems like...
Once the goalie got pulled, the other goalie had no chance. Stolarz came in for Koskinen. But then you say, start with the goalie. I mean, that's probably the best spot. But his deal literally, he makes 2.5 this year. Next year it kicks in for a three-year deal at $4.5 million again. And it's just like... It's a mess.
Yeah, they were stuck a bit because he was one of these unique guys. Came in a one-year contract. He would have been an unrestricted free agent. We're talking about Koskinen now. But anyway, that's the Edmonton Oilers' problems. They got to get on a plane to take on the Ottawa Senators. For the Toronto Maple Leafs, they've got a much-anticipated game tomorrow night. So many different elements going on in Long Island, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But, it's three games in a row. It's not like you want to always spot the other team a bit of a lead or not show up at time as one of Savvy's keys to victory before the game, but the Maple Leafs really show they got a lot of talent that they can come back and take over these games.
Yeah, it's nice to have it spread out the way it's been. The fourth line didn't chip in tonight, and that's fine because all the big guys showed up and did their thing, and everybody chipped in up front, and it really was a good team effort. Everybody got involved in the scoring. And the real concern out of this game, though, is Travis Dermott. Hopefully he's okay. It looks to be a separated shoulder. And like we said, we talked about it when it happened, that these separated shoulders can go either way. Sometimes you can just pop them back in place, might be a week, or it's to the extreme where he could look at 4 weeks. So we'll have to wait and see on that.
Tell you what, we'll take the break just because quite often Mike Babcock talks early when the team has a getaway night like they're scheduled to have tonight. So we will come back. We'll cover it all. We'll hear all the goals from tonight's game. Chris Johnson will join us. Out-of-town scores, you name it. We've got it all covered after all 82 Toronto Maple Leaf games. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. We need to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
A 6-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Edmonton Oilers. We welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard with you. Vic Palladian here. Sam McKee, the producer, fighting the battles on the subway to get to the game tonight. And, of course, Andrew Holland, Sho Ali, back at the mothership in handling everything in tonight's game. Yeah, a 6-2 win. And as we talked about it, Savvy, before we hear from Mike Babcock, I know our son Justin, not you and my son Justin.
Our son.
Yeah, he was.
That'd be awkward.
He was at the game tonight with a friend, and this was the game he picked, right?
Jimmy.
This is the game, his buddy Sam. This is the game they picked to watch, right? Just as far as McDavid coming to town, Matthews versus McDavid, two up-and-coming young teams. And I'm sure I know they would have had a great time. Anytime going to an NHL game live is great, but wow.
Eight goals, though. You know, that's what you kind of want to see.
That's true, when you're a kid.
When you're a kid, you love to see goals. So I think Justin will go home very happy.
Yeah, well, the parachute shirts didn't land his
especially
way.
Especially all those beers he was having down there.
I guess he got the fake ID somewhere along the way. But we talked about Travis Dermott. Jake Gardner missing the game due to back spasms. He's now listed week to week. And Travis Dermott, just to elaborate, you know, what you saw. And you were right, first of all, because I didn't really see it happen. It looked like a player was getting kicked out of the game for the Edmonton Oilers. But actually, it was it was Malone that had left, Brad Malone. He'd left earlier, so he got hurt separately. But so some fans thought he was getting five in a game, but he wasn't the guy that hit Travis Dermott. And it looked like a innocent hit. It just caught him at an awkward angle in the boards.
I think if you watch it on replay, his left arm gets jammed with the board and the ice, and his shoulder pops out, dislocates out of place. And I'm positive it's a separated shoulder. Or a shoulder that just popped out of place. I don't know if the player Dermott has any recent history of shoulder issues. You kind of hope he does in that situation where you can just pop it back in. So we'll have to wait and hear what maybe with Chris Johnson says after. But right now, I think that Justin Hall is going to finally get the call.
Well, you're right, because you got Igor Ozganov back in the lineup tonight with Jake Gardner's absence. So Justin Hall's there. And also, you mentioned just the Toronto Marlies. I mean, all of a sudden, their defense corps getting a few injuries throughout the organization.
Cal Rosen and
Borgman as well.
They're both injured right now in the minors. Yeah. So it looks like that Justin Hall is going to draw in, and good for him.
Well, get a chance to play. Of course, Garrett Sparks will also play tomorrow night against the New York Islanders, so you'll see him get a little bit of a chance that way. And, so when we're looking after the game tonight and you're trying to, I don't know, just Edmonton was so bad. I'm really still in dismay about how bad they were, to be honest with you. I thought a couple of years ago when they had that solid playoff series that they had turned the corner. And when you got the best player in the league, I mean, that's a huge leg up bonus as far as going into any game. But
put it this way, if you're a general manager, a general manager that's vying for that job, and let's say you have Seattle, I'm putting McCrimmon from Vegas in the hot seat right now. Mm-hmm. He either can take the Oilers or take the new Seattle job. I think you want the Oilers job just because you have the best player in the world.
And he's a Western Canadian guy, too.
And he's a Western Canadian guy.
There's a passion that way, yeah.
Yeah, but you would want that job yourself, right? Wouldn't you want to start with the best player in the world? or do you take the new team?
Well, it's interesting because we're talking about the assistant general manager Kelly McCrimmon of the Vegas Golden Knights, who ran the Brandon Wheat Kings for so many years. And okay, but does he say if he is offered the Seattle job, I already did the template in Vegas, I want to do it again in Seattle? Only problem, the other general managers are wise. They're not going to make those trades that they allowed George McPhee to make. They're going to say, okay, you know the player I'm going to offer? It's Mark Savard, and that's it. I'm not going to be coerced. Everybody else that did something said, I'll give you something, so you don't take this guy.
Yeah.
Like William Karlsson of Columbus. They got extra things to take Karlsson, and he's killing there. And, you know, on and on and on that way. So I think that would be the one, a little bit a difficulty for the new general manager in Seattle. I do want to talk about one player, as we say, we get set for Mike Babcock any second. But, boy, the guy that didn't perform well at training camp, and you want young prospects to emerge in Edmonton, Toronto, Andreas Janssen, whatever it was, when he got that second gear, it took him about 15 games.
And we were off and on about him all year. We weren't sure. Like, we were even talking at one point, if it was Kasperi Kapanen or Janssen, you know, let's trade Janssen because, I mean, right now they're both.
Oh, yeah.
That is the toughest call in the world. I might be even persuaded the other way now, the way Janssen's been playing. He looks tremendous in that. And remember I said before, I don't know if he has great hands. That's the one thing. I thought he rushed everything. But obviously it was just him getting acclimated to the NHL, because that goal tonight, that's something that I would do or you would do against Solana Kofure. He gets the pass. He has the patience to come across the crease and put it in on his back end. I mean, that's not every guy that does that in this league, or they'd be here for a long time.
No, and the other point is, as well, the game, even though you like to see tighter games, but you saw a lot of goals, and you saw some nice goals.
Yes.
You know, I mean, Leon Draisaitl's was a nice one to start the game, but then you saw some real nice goals, some nice passing plays from the Edmonton Oilers, the Toronto Maple Leafs, regardless how weak the Oilers D was.
Oh, they were pitiful at times, yeah, but you got to give the Leafs credit. They moved the puck well. They got the high-end talents, right? And on nights where, you know, they didn't start so well, we've seen it over and over again, they're able to bail themselves out. But that's a problem.
Let's
they're
go to
hear
head coach Mike Babcock.
Week to week. You already saw the release. Gardner's week to week. Hello.
What will you do on defense? The six guys you got, or are you going to call
someone? Yeah, we're going to call someone up. We'll call up Marensen. And then just because Ozzie hasn't played any games here lately, going back-to-back, probably not a good idea. So we'll put Marty and Holler in tomorrow. And then we'll just work out a rotation as time goes on here. I mean, these are going to be the D for a while. Rosen's not available. He hurt his foot. So those are the guys that are available.
Club's been fortunate this year, Mike. I mean, you've hit a rash of injuries right now. Is another opportunity? Do you look at it that way?
Well, you know, what else are you going to do? I mean, the bottom line is someone's going to get a chance. We'll find a player, or maybe a good player, maybe a better pair than we had planned, and go from there. But our forwards got to do a better job now, making sure we don't spend much time in our own zone.
Your thoughts on the way your offense responded tonight, spread around lots of guys?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I like the track transition goals, because that means you're working and you're competing hard. That way, you know, obviously it's good to have the power play going. I didn't like our start as much as, you know, I'd like to. I thought we could have been better at the start. We didn't give up a ton, but we still gave up too much. And, you know, we just thought that we can be better at that area. We got to be better tomorrow night in that area.
Do you have any problem with the hit on Dermott?
You know, I mean, I haven't looked at it, so I don't know. I thought it was going to be a penalty, but, I mean, I didn't. It's not like I reviewed it or anything.
What do you think of Tavares going back to Long Island?
Well, I think it's something he needs to put to bed and get on with it. So, I mean, the great thing about fans is they pay their money and get to say whatever they want. No, he's a good man. He was good for their franchise. He's great for our franchise. He made a decision to come home. I don't know if anyone can fault you for that.
But, I mean, the response has been pretty visceral in Long Island to him leaving. And, you know, you're hearing, you know, a lot of people say a lot of things. There's talk about, you know, people throwing batteries, that kind of stuff. As an organization, are you guys at all concerned for his safety or well-being?
No, Lou's in charge of that organization. He'll have it buttoned down, and there'll be none of that. I'm not concerned about that one bit. I mean, I'm not on social media 24/7, so I don't know what everyone's saying or much care, to be honest with you. We're going to go and play, and there's a game, and there's 2 points on the line.
Is that the nastiest building in the league to go in to hear stuff? from my perspective, it's kind
of... Yeah, I couldn't tell you. Like, I'm not one of those people. If somebody tells me, oh, I'm sitting right behind you at the game, or gee, the crowd was great tonight, or the music's really... I don't know any of that stuff. I couldn't tell you. I know there's a game going on and what happened.
Do you have anything to offer him, though, Mike, like in terms of advice for going back to a place? Because
Where you left.
Right.
It's way easier to go back when they fire you. No, it's the fact. Or if they kick you out of town, then no one holds any kind of hard feelings. But that's life. You make decisions, and they get to say what you want. You know, what I've always said in my family, if your knees don't hit the kitchen table, your opinion probably doesn't matter.
A few words just about how steady Freddie's been for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good for us for sure. We think Freddie's elite goaltender. We always want more, to tell you the truth, from where I'm at. And anybody knows that's been in playoffs before, that if you're going to have success at playoff time, your goalie's got to be good. He's got to be mentally strong, and he's got to bring it every night. When you don't have it, when you do have it, he's just got to be good, and that's what we expect of him.
Thanks,
see you guys.
Yeah, a little bit longer, Mike Babcock. So if your knees don't hit the kitchen table, you're not a part of it. Is that what he said?
Yeah. And you're only...
Your opinion doesn't matter.
You're only 5'2".
Mm-hmm. So I can lift my knees up and hit the table. And no, I'm not 5'2".
Okay.
That's my head coach, Mike Babcock. The Leafs had a 6-2 win over the Edmonton Oilers. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Before he came on, he mentioned Travis Dermott week to week with the hit that hurt his shoulder. Jake Gardner week to week. He's not going to put Ozaganov in back-to-back games.
Oshie must be tired.
Well, he says Ozzie must be tired, or I don't know if that's an excuse.
How many did Oshie play today?
That he didn't play well?
14:45. Yeah.
I guess he's. Babs has been talking to Kawhi Leonard with the load maintenance or something. Ozaganov wants that too. So the infamous, he won't go away, Martin Marincin.
The magic man finds his way back.
And Justin Hall. So you're going to have two new D, and you're going to have Garrett Sparks in goal tomorrow. And again, by the way, someone asked the question. I've never heard once talk of throwing batteries, okay, on Long Island. I've never heard that once. I doubt that very much. I've heard them wearing pajamas to the game, and I've heard all those things. And they could be creative, and they could be loud and all that. I'm sure they will. New York fans are that way. I never heard throwing batteries on the ice.
No, I've never heard that either. But I'll tell you one thing that's tough, and I'm totally going back off topic here as I look at the Oilers' faithful friends and family coming to say hi. It's a tough night to walk up that staircase and say hi to your family when you get beat as ugly as you did tonight.
Oh,
I'm not even lying to you. There's a time in Ottawa. I remember we went up to Ottawa and I was playing with Calgary. It was a team anyway, and I think we got beat 7-1. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be rude, but I just texted the family and I said, "Listen, I'm sorry, because I had already did dinner with my family the night before when I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to see everybody. I wasn't in the mood.
Yeah.
And I hope they didn't take it wrong. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's almost their worry too. Like, what? Well, geez, he's gonna be. What are we gonna say? Cheer
well,
him up.
You know what? We played tennis together a couple weeks ago there, and when we lost in two sets, you didn't really want to talk to me, and I felt uncomfortable.
Well, you cost us there against Ted Juano and CJ. And
big
that, you
serve
know.
CJ and tennis Teddy. Or
yeah, Teddy Honolulu, as you call
him.
But
you wouldn't talk to me, and it was awkward for a while, and then we settled down, and finally you talked to me. But that's what I'm saying.
A few nachos and drinks, yeah.
Yeah, after the nachos came out, we both couldn't. We had to look at each other. The nachos were between us. So these guys are like, what are they talking about over there?
No, but I'm just thinking that, like, you know, and the other part is, okay, I'll use the Connor McDavid. I don't mean to knock Edmonton per se, but also you got a kid or a friend in Edmonton, okay, compared to Tampa Bay or Los Angeles or, you know, or Nashville or Chicago or, you know what I mean, where you go, I can't wait to take a trip down there and all that kind of stuff and whatever. Edmonton's colder than here, and then you get, you know, this kind of hockey on the ice. So we'll pick up, talk about that. We'll also hear the Joe Bowen calls and Jim Ralph calls for tonight's game as well. A 6-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Edmonton Oilers. Chris Johnston, a busy day with you, Savvy, doing NHL trade deadline work on Monday, and he, of course, here tonight, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. And, you know, before we talk about the Leafs side, like, we're just saying, Chris, this is a game at the start of the year you really look forward to. The two arguably best young players in the NHL, two up and coming teams. And our first reaction, just, you know, we did the walk to the subway, as we call it. Boy, I'm shocked how bad this Edmonton team is.
Yeah, they're in a really bad situation. I mean, you know, I was playing that game myself in the press box, kind of going through, you know, after you have McDavid, Draisaitl, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You know, I think that matches up actually pretty well with Matthews, Tavares, and Nazem Kadri, if you sort of imagine the top three centers. But then you go through the rest of the Leafs forwards, and about the next six guys that are Leafs would all be the fourth best forward on Edmonton. You know, whether you want to do Kapanen, Johnsen, Marner, obviously at the top of the list. You know, even Zach Hyman. I mean, they are several NHL players short of being a really good team. They have a couple of really good players, and it's going to be a long grind. So you're right. When you see it kind of for your own eyes, you know, obviously I watch a lot of the games, especially on Saturdays, the late games, but you know, they're a long way off from being where the Leafs are today. And you know, that's a tough spot to find yourself when you have a generational player like Connor McDavid in his fourth season on your roster.
It's a real tough spot, and it's tough to watch. I mean, just from when I was a kid, you know, I idolized a lot of the Oilers, and Oilers were my favorite team, winning all those cups. And it just, I don't even know where they begin, Chris. I really don't.
Well, to me, they got to start clearing out contracts. You know, they have to, might be a buyout, but, you know, you got to get rid of Milan Lucic's deal. I think they have to stockpile as many picks as you can, because you need to find, it's not going to happen quickly, but you need to find some guys who can play. You need to develop the Kapanens and Johnsons, even if it's for 3 years down the road from now. I mean, Connor McDavid's still going to be an awesome hockey player when that comes. And you know, I think the key is there's no shortcuts here. And yeah, I'm with you. I almost feel sorry for them. I mean, it sounds maybe a bit condescending. I don't mean it that way, but, you know, I'm a Canadian. I know how much hockey matters in a city like Edmonton, you know, and how much the people there have been through. I mean, we all lived it here in Toronto with, you know, the Leafs having a decade where they couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, it's an even longer run in Edmonton, and then there's still a couple of years yet left to go, even though they've got, you know, the best player in the world on their roster. So, you know, I think that the good news, if you want to look at it that way, is they have three centermen that you could win a Stanley Cup with. The problem is that they don't have very much going on D. I think they got to find a goalie, and they got to find a whole bunch of wingers that are serviceable and you know, kind of, you know, buck what they got right now. So it's going to be a big job for whoever's hired as their general manager, and, you know, it's got to be tough for them to come into a building like this. The only game, you know, McDavid gets to play in his hometown all year and lay a performance down like that.
Another quick question. You said buyouts there. How does that work? So I know everybody was allowed two compliance buyouts. Now, can you come in and buy a guy out? How does that work? Explain to the people.
Yeah, you can buy a player out at the end of the season. It ends up being charged on your cap for twice as much as remaining on his contract. So in the case of Milan Lucic, he's got 4 years left on his deal. You know, that's a big decision, because that would be 8 years that his cap hit charges against you. And, you know,
eight years at a smaller number
than his current cap hit. So, you know, it's a big decision to make, but you know, that's what the Leafs did. I mean, they didn't buy out Phil Kessel, but they traded him and kept back salary, and they're still paying Phil for another 2 or 3 years after this one. I just think you have to start to clear out what you can, and, you know, try to develop some young players. I mean, the good news is their team in Bakersfield has won 17 games in a row. I don't think there's certainly not A-chip prospects there, but, you know, it suggests there's probably a few guys that could play on their team, and it's going to be slow. It's going to be difficult, but trying to trade your way out of it hasn't worked for them, and I think that's where they've gotten in trouble under Peter Chiarelli, you know, prior to him being fired.
Well, I bet you a couple of these Oilers are hoping to get called up to Bakersfield themselves.
You heard the debate there about Puljujarvi, but where's, you know, being better off in Bakersfield than the environment up here? And then just to, you know, talk about the, you know, just the buyout as far as it goes. So to put it, Savvy, in round numbers, like Chris was saying, so say Lucic made $3 million. I know he makes more than that, but it's one third, but it's two thirds in total. He gets, but it's spread over double the time. So he would get basically two-thirds. That's $2 million a year he would get, but it's spread over double the time, so the cap hit would go down from $3 million to $1 million. Now, Lucic's case is about double that. So, but the other part, of course, Chris, is now what's lurking in is if you have signing bonuses, that the cap hit's one thing, but guys collect all their cash anyway. I'm not sure where it is for Lucic, but that's starting to creep back in the picture, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and I don't know. I haven't familiarized myself with this contract recently. Obviously you try to trade a guy like that. I mean, the Leafs were able to trade David Clarkson, at one point for Nathan Horton's deal. You know, I think you got to look for ways out of some of those contracts. But I mean, the issue for Edmonton isn't just a lack of talent. You know, that's their number one issue. But their number two issue is they have cap issues. You know, this is a team that had to make moves just to bring back Andre Sequeira from injury. Because they didn't have room under the salary cap. And so they're screwed on a couple levels, to take a bad adjective, but they're in a tough spot to not have enough good players but also be paying the guys they have too much money. I mean, you have to sort of start unwinding that Gordian knot at some point, and, we'll see how they do. There's some good candidates out there to be GM. And, again, taking over a team with a Connor McDavid and a Leon Draisaitl signed long-term, there's worse fates. I mean, they've got a couple pieces that can really be part of something special, but they have to improve. It's shocking to me. This is the fourth year of Connor McDavid, and that's the team they're rolling out. I mean, that's barely, there's four or five AHL players in that roster tonight.
Yeah, now the other thing is as well, that's the right adjective, what you said about the Edmonton Oilers. On the Toronto Maple Leafs side, of course, Leafs win 6-2 over Edmonton. So Babcock, unfortunately, Jake Gardner now week-to-week with back spasms, and right now the Travis Dermott's shoulder, the initial report is week-to-week because shoulders are always a little bit iffy, but that's what Babs had to say?
Yeah, and, this is a huge concern. I mean, we had this conversation 3 days ago, the left side of the Leafs D, we spent no time, scrutinizing because they had such depth there. And just with one, tough day, Jake Gardner's got this injury to his back, kind of a nebulous injury, week to week. Sounds like it's going to be a couple weeks to me. It allows them not to have to answer questions for the coming days, but it's probably not going to be a short one. And Travis Dermott, I mean, Austin Matthews missed 4 weeks with his injury to the shoulder. Dermott's might have even been more severe just the way it went. I know he had a shoulder injury last year in a Calder Cup playoffs following the missed game 7 of the final against Texas. And I hope it's not the same shoulder. I don't know that much, but, we could be looking at him being out for 4 to 6 weeks or longer, depending on what they find when they take an MRI. So, it's a really difficult spot for this blue line now. And the third pairing tomorrow night is going to be Justin Hall, who's played 2 games this year and been scratched in 6 months. And then Martin Marincin is going to get a call up from the Marlies, who's only played a handful of NHL games as well. So, it's a tough break for Toronto. I think that they do have the depth to overcome it in the near term. But, the biggest hope is that both for Gardner, Dermott, and Nazem Kadri, who remains out with a concussion, that these guys will be able to come back before the playoffs and find their footing before the games really matter.
Well, with injury comes opportunity. We've stressed that a lot this season. You look at Ennis, you look at Moore, and I like Justin Hall. I think he's an NHL defenseman, so he's going to get a good opportunity here, and hopefully he can run with it. And Travis Dermott, too, on the other side. I play with a couple guys that have had shoulder injuries, and when it pops out the way it looked like it popped out of place today, sometimes they can just pop those back in, and within a week you're back. But that's on the good side. Like you said, it looks like more 4 to 6 weeks. But in saying that, tonight's game, what was really nice is everybody kind of chipped in. The fourth line didn't get any points, as we could see, but every other line got involved, and that's a nice bonus for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right, and, they had a slow start again. Not the way they drew it up, but, really in the last 5 minutes of the second period, and then, or the first period, rather, and then the start of the second, they took control, and in 10 minutes of game time there, there was no reason to watch the rest of the game. You knew what was going to happen because the Leafs seized control, and that's how they're going to have to win. I mean, the strength of this team is having that many offensive weapons. William Nylander still on a third line for this team. We saw the shot that he put there by Mikko Koskinen, got him taken out of the game. Patrick Marleau actually, I thought, had a nice night, made a couple plays early when his teammates weren't doing much, and then scored that first goal. We know what Marner and Tavares can do, and then they each had a couple points. I mean, it was one of those nights where everybody was going, and I think the Leafs as a team, despite some of the injury stuff, should be feeling pretty good about themselves because they've really been running it up lately and you know, had a big second period on Saturday night against the Habs and you know, managed it again here. And you know, now they look ahead to the John Tavares game, and I think, you know, an opportunity in some ways, given that they've got an inexperienced third pairing. You have a backup in Garrett Sparks starting that game, but it's obviously one the Leafs are going to really want to win for number 91, given the attention he's going to be under when he gets to Long Island.
Chris, thanks very much as always. Have a great flight, okay?
Yeah, 6:30 a.m. Just hope I don't sleep in.
Okay, I don't think you will. Chris Johnston, our man, Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada, joining Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, a 6-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Edmonton Oilers. We'll get to hear all the goals that happened tonight. So we got a few of them, and it is actually in the first period. The Edmonton Oilers, who dominated for a while on the power play, believe it or not, they strike first.
Carried to the line and in. Draisaitl goes wide and gets in front of the goal. That was stopped. The rebound. They score. Draisaitl is able to come from one end to the other and opens the scoring here with his 39th goal of the season and his 77th point.
11:08 on the power play. His 39th goal, as Joe Bowen said, Draisaitl from McDavid and Nurse. And, of course, a nice Draisaitl stick you just have will be an upcoming taping twigs segment for you, Mark. But what a beautiful goal he did with that stick.
Highlight reel goal. You'll see it on TV tonight. You'll see it for the week. It'll be in the plays of the week for sure. Just a beautiful goal. Connor McDavid just dropping the mail off to Draisaitl, and away he went. And poor Ron Hainsey, like we said earlier, he got DM'd in that first period. He got Draisaitl and then McDavid, but Draisaitl's went in, and the Oilers had a 1-0 lead, and it looked like they were in this game in a bit of control early.
I'm almost chuckling because I remember we're talking about when the game was compelling, just those kinds of things, like Ron Hainsey struggles there. And how about Patrick Marleau? He almost scored in the first minute. He actually is one of the guys that gave some spark when the Leafs didn't have some spark, and he ties it up before the period ends.
Brought to center ice by Dermott. On to Nylander. Nylander into the corner, far side. Rings it around for Patrick Marleau. Marleau back to Nylander. Looking for Brown in front, and he fanned on a one-timer. Comes to Muzzin, a shot. Glove, rebound, front, backhand, scores! Marleau ties the game!
Started a lot of nice goals, really, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Patrick Marleau at the 18:02 mark. It was nice to get that one late in the first period. His 14th from Muzzin and Brown.
Yeah, this one got you all hot because you like these ones here around the net. Just a simple shot from the point, and you get moving up top like you were back in your heyday for Slonko Fuhr, just putting him home in the blue paint. And Patrick Marleau did the same, and he got his team back in this one. And a great time before the end of a period to get your team back in it with, I think he scored the 18-minute mark, was it?
18:02.
So he went in the, got the guys feeling good going in the room, so at least they can come out and have a good second period, which they did.
Yeah, well, 16-10, the Leafs were outshot in the first period. As I said, Edmonton was outshooting them 13-2 at one point, so they closed that margin. And then, oh my goodness, fasten your seatbelts. It wasn't just a bumpy ride. It's a disastrous ride for the Edmonton Oilers. Let's cue the Maple Leaf scoring merry-go-round. It starts at the 109 part.
Back into the Toronto end. A long pass by Hainsey. On to Hyman. Hyman with a feed. It scores! Marner! Shouldn't that be reversed? Shouldn't Hyman be going to the net and the creative pass come from Marner?
Nope, it was done this way. It's Mitch Marner's 22nd, the 109 mark from Hyman and Hainsey.
Yeah, that's how it went in. Marner with just a nice shot here and a little tip. I mean, Hyman had the shot, Marner with the slick. They call that a slick tip. And, you know, we had talked about Marner coming into the game that he wasn't getting points like he did at the beginning of the year. We wanted to see him get in a groove heading into the playoffs. It looks like he did that with a three-point night.
Well, lots of people did, and it's just a minute 19 later. Cue Andreas Johnsson.
Here's McDavid getting it in over the line, only to have Ozhiganov bunted it back out at center. Here's a pass in from Matthews. Kapanen in a goal! Scores! A beautiful pass for Johnsson, who is cutting to the net, and it's 3-1 Toronto.
Yeah, goal number 18, and he's not done for Janssen from Kapanen and Matthews at the 226 mark.
That's the one we were talking about earlier in the show, Gord, about how I didn't think Janssen had that patience, but I guess as he's getting acclimated to the NHL, he's finding that, and I'm loving it. And right there, just a beautiful pass by Kapanen. And Janssen, instead of shooting it right away, which I think he would have did in the first 10 games of the season, he has the patience to hold that and pull it to the backhand and bury it home.
Well, three consecutive goals for the Leafs is going to continue. I kind of half forgot the next three are all on the power play, and the 450 mark, they strike.
Here's Nylander, sifting through the neutral zone and sliding into the right wing corner. Loose puck is played around back of the net. Nugent Hopkins trying to free it up. Puck is still free along the boards, played to the near side. Nylander, a shot hit the side of the goal. That hit the side of the net.
Scores!
Called it! That's your first goal, so congratulations!
I'm with you.
There we go. Yeah, well, that was the end of Mikko Koskinen, because it's hard to believe that goal went in. William Nylander, his fifth from Ennis and Marlowe at the on the power play. Three goals in 3 minutes and 41 seconds.
Yeah, that was ugly to say the least. And he deserved the hook there. He made one good save early on Patrick Marlowe and then basically couldn't find his own net. He was in bad angles, and that was one of them there that you just can't let in, especially when it's a 3-1 hockey game. And old Hitch gave him the...
Hitch, the hook.
Yes.
Hitch gave him the hook. Well, boy, and just everything went out of the game there. They continue to pile on. Here we are less than 4 minutes later.
Puck along the boards. Marner gets it back to Tavares. Tavares can't shoot it. And a shot taken by Janssen scores! Andreas Janssen gets his second goal of the game. Someone a little premature has fired a hat under the ice. Or maybe it's an Oilers hat. Maybe it's a waffle.
Andreas Janssen, second of the game, 19th of the season from Tavares and Marner at 8:09.
Yes, and this was a muffin, too, that I think the new goaltender
Stoller,
at the time, Stolarz, wishes he had back because, I mean, their backs were already broken, and now they were just basically skating around with no equipment on. They just had skates, and I don't even know if they had sticks at the end of the game. But anyways, it was ugly, Gord, and I felt bad for him. Like Chris said, and he felt bad, and I did, too. You don't like seeing an Oilers team look like that.
Well, now it's 5-1 the end of the second period, as if that's not bad enough. Oh, by the way, Leafs are starting the third period with a two-man advantage. Here's the final one.
Matthews gets it to Marner again, though, and it's spun back to the near point to Nylander, who waits for it. Down to the goal line to Marner. A shot scores! Tavares in front of the net! Okay, that was way too easy. Even with a 5-on-3, that was way too easy.
Yeah, you know, Joe's not wrong. A 5-on-3, though, it's hard to say anything's too easy. But 25 seconds in, John Tavares is 36th for Marner and Nylander.
Yeah, it was way too easy. He nailed it. It almost looked like the Oilers forgot to start the period, and they came out and just stood around and let the Leafs do their thing and take their different looks. And it just took one snip. It was a bit of a snip, though, inside both posts. I mean, it was a good shot by John Tavares. You got to give him credit. But there wasn't much attention to detail on the defensive side. They just let everybody do what they wanted and end up in their net, and it was 6-1.
Okay, it didn't really matter, but late, one more goal for Edmonton.
Nurse with a shot, knocked down by Anderson, a rebound! Anderson diving across, made the save, the rebound goes into the net. And now what?
Hey, I don't know, Edmonton's not celebrating.
Did the whistle go?
After a video review, the call on the ice is confirmed as a good goal.
According to who?
Well, there we go. It's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins from Nurse at the 16:06 mark. Wrapped it up. It was a 6-2 win. One more piece of business. The hardest working Leaf, brought to you by Direct Energy Business, providing energy solutions for Canadian businesses. And 12 different Leaf players got at least a point in tonight's game. And Freddy Gauthier was the Direct Energy hardest working Leaf the other night against Buffalo.
But Gauthier didn't play tonight,
time.
Did he?
The GOAT did play tonight,
no,
yes. Long live the GOAT. Here
I'm
going to
go with, they're like, it was a good team effort tonight, and it's a tough one for me to call. I'd like to say Mitchell Marner because he had 3 points, but I'm not going to take Mitchell Marner tonight. I'm going to take the old guy because he got them going, Gord. You agree with me?
I absolutely agree.
Who am I thinking of?
Number 12.
Yes, number
absolutely.
12.
Which is
tonight.
What I wore for Salonika Kofir, by the way, number 12.
There's so many resemblances of you two. It starts with the speed. But anyways, 2 points tonight, plus one goal and assist, 15-12 ice time, two shots, two attempted shots, one takeaway. 9-3 in the faceoff circle.
Yeah.
What?
There we go.
Wow.
That's why. Patrick Marleau is our Direct Energy hardest working Leaf, brought to you by Direct Energy Business, providing energy solutions for Canadian businesses. Tomorrow night, boy, we will be there right after the John Tavares return. We'll have Leafs Nation postgame, so you want to catch that.
I'm going to wear my PJs.
Back on the airways.
You? You want to have PJ night?
You know what? I got them on now, right now. This is a late night for me. Anyway, tonight it's a 6-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Edmonton Oilers. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave. But we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
We're back at a pretty bare Scotiabank Arena. 6-2 is your final. Gord, go ahead.
Yeah, Savvy, you've dreamt of doing that. You like doing that, right? Well, bringing us back. The ins and outs aren't as easy as you think, right? 6-2, Gord Stelic, Mark Serrano. I was talking to my buddies Bruce and Dino. They're at Bayview and Eglinton now. They said the drive is going okay home. Pumped about the game. Pumped about listening to us on the postgame show. Wondering why I have so many different partners over the years, but so far I think you're doing a decent job. So that is good to know. As
well,
the
Berkey's a big fan.
Right.
If he's listening. I'm hearing Doug McLean's now on the bandwagon. Elliot Friedman, Chris Johnson. I mean, the list goes on. And I actually heard you on the show the other day on the Good Show. And there was a person from Peterborough that called in. His name was Mark. Did you not hear that? And he asked who your best winger was, and you didn't divulge anything. You said they've all been great.
I don't talk like that, by the way. I was diplomatic and just mentioned all four.
Just tell the truth.
Different partners. Well, especially when you're like trying to shill to get your name mentioned, okay? That's pathetic. But a 6-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over, unfortunately, a pathetic-looking Edmonton Oilers team tonight here at Scotiabank Arena. And
I hope they get snowed in. You know why? Then I'm going to go talk to Luch and have a couple waters. Mm-hmm. Get him prepared for Ottawa tomorrow.
Well, it's going to be a tough one.
He said they're delayed already. I'm talking to him through text.
Oh, yeah.
That they've already been told they've been delayed. I think that's why we're seeing the players.
So that's why the families are hanging there. I was kind of wondering that, because usually, as they call it, a getaway night, either whether you're home or away, and you got to get going right after the game. Quick look. We'll look at some of the out-of-town scores as well. There's not so many games on Wednesday nights. They kind of call it Rivalry Wednesday, even though some of them aren't great rivalries. Colorado leads Vancouver 2-1 after one period of play. No score between Chicago and Anaheim. That's in the first. Calgary, 2-1 win over the New Jersey Devils. That is a final. And, boy, the Tampa Bay Lightning keep going. A 4-3 overtime win over the New York Rangers. The Boston Bruins haven't lost in their last four games. They're 10-0-4, and they have not made ground on the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've lost ground. That's how great the Tampa Bay Lightning are playing right now.
Guess who plays
ridiculous.
Tomorrow, each other?
The Tampa
Boston and Tampa.
Well, beauty.
So it's going to be a beauty game. And Toronto's off to the island, and that is going to be a beauty game as well. I'd imagine they're already waiting at the airport for old Mr. Tavares to arrive, which is an unfortunate situation where he gave everything he had for a team, and unfortunately he didn't want to stick around. And there's been a lot of Twitter videos lately. I'm sure everybody's seen them about Tavares coming back and them saying that, oh, you promised you'd stay the rest of your career, and there's guys crying and stuff. But it'll be a real interesting to see how the reception goes, because they're going to obviously play something on the Jumbotron for them. They have to.
Yeah. No,
is there even a Jumbotron at Nassau Coliseum?
Well, there's something, whatever. I don't know if it's Jumbo. There's a mid-sized Tron.
Okay.
That they'll play something there. But it was interesting. The question was asked to Mike Babcock, because, as he said, it's easier if you get run out of town or get fired, because Mike Babcock got a little bit of that going back to Detroit.
Yeah.
That, you know, he left on his own volition, and it's always looked a little bit different that way. So in John Tavares' case, well, let's hear tonight, what John Tavares, first of all, we'll take a look at his stats in tonight's game. I think you threw out my sheet there.
I took your sheet.
Give me that one back. Thank you. John Tavares tonight, he had the goal, assist, seven shots on net. Wow. 17 minutes, 44 seconds of ice time. He was 11 and 7 in the faceoff circle, so did well. A pretty full game. But let's hear what he had to say about tonight, and I imagine there's a question or two about tomorrow's game. Here he is after the win.
John, the offensive onslaught was impressive. What went into to limiting their big gun as well as you guys were able to do effectively tonight?
Yeah, he's obviously, Connor and Dreisaitl, obviously two really tough guys to handle. Even when you pay extra attention to them, they're so good at making so much out of nothing. So it's really a group effort, and everyone just did a really good job, I think, just being above them and make them have to go through all five of us. And obviously pretty good goaltender and Freddie in net. So just make it hard on them and then play in the offensive zone and capitalize on our chances.
Offense was spread around pretty good tonight. That's a good sign for the team, I guess?
It's always a good sign. I think we had it the last few nights. I think, the way, every line's playing, making things happen, being hard to play against, makes us tough to match up against. And you can really feel that momentum, I think, go from line to line. Guys want to feed off that and want to, feed off each other. So good to see it.
Gardner's out, and now maybe Travis. How big of a blow is that to the decor right now?
Yeah, I mean, obviously those are key players for us. We've had some key injuries up front, and obviously we missed Willie at the start of the year. So it's an opportunity for guys to step up and get that opportunity and fill the void and, go in there and play well. I think we got great depth at all positions. So obviously we do miss those guys.
With this game over, what's your emotional level now as you think about going to Long Island tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll pick up tomorrow. I think just right now, just try to obviously get down there and get a good night's rest, fuel up, and just try to prepare to go out there and play. Obviously, hard to say really what I'll feel. I'm sure it'll be an emotional evening, but at the same time, I want to try to just focus on playing and just go out there and do what I have to do.
John, I mean, as you know, the response has been pretty visceral from the fan base there. How does it make you feel when you hear some of the people that probably were chanting your name and cheering for you a year ago saying some of the things that they're saying about you right now?
I don't really try to worry about it. I mean, like I've said many times, since day one when I was drafted there, I fully embraced being an Islander. I loved it and I gave it everything I had. So whatever it is now, it's not up to me to convince anybody that. I got enough to worry about and just trying to play my game and help the Maple Leafs. So that's what I'm going to do.
Do you understand why they're upset, John?
Well, I left, so...
In terms of how it played out from their perspective.
Well, I mean, I had, I think, every right to go through the process that I went through. I tried to be open and honest when I made my decision. I had no idea what I was going to do until I made my decision. So if people can take it whatever way they want, but I'm just going to go out there and play and do what I have to do to be at my best. And all I can do is control what I can control.
Are you happy for your teammates, your ex-teammates there, that they are doing so well this year?
I mean, they deserve a ton of credit there. They're having a tremendous season. Obviously to go from last in a lot of defensive categories to one in pretty much all of them is extremely impressive. And obviously having a heck of a year and a really good hockey team. So it should be a tough game tomorrow night, and it's going to be a challenge for us.
Okay, leave them alone about giving them the fifth about why they're mad and everything. And I think we went through that on July 1st, the understanding that way. John Tavares, after the 6-2 win for the Leafs over the Edmonton Oilers, you know something? 36 goals, 32 assists. Like, this is a free agent that, regardless of the visceral and all those things, whatever word you want to use, what a great, like what a perfect free agent. Like, it couldn't have gone any better for the Toronto Maple Leafs the way, and you can say, okay, that shouldn't be unexpected, but think of how many free agents. I mean, Milan Lucic, for example, is in a different category, but that whole free agent class of Andrew Ladd and Kyle Okposo and Franz Nielsen and Louis Erickson, they all moved at the same time, and David Backes, and they've really been found lacking, right? Remember a few years ago when they signed 6- and 7-year contracts? So John Tavares couldn't have read the situation better for him and couldn't be a better pickup for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, it's all turned out well. And on the other end of things, too, the Islanders, let's be honest, they've had a great season without him. So
absolutely.
You can't be really pissed off at that. You know, you've been playing well, and you haven't really missed John Tavares. I'm sure he could always help you and be a great addition. But, again, he's come to Toronto, like you said, and lived up to every expectation. Mike Babcock absolutely loves him. They have the same almost mentality when you hear them talking. I don't know if Babcock's talking or Tavares is talking. They seem like the same person mentally.
Maybe he gave him one of those free mattresses that he does the commercials for.
Is.
You never know.
Free mattresses, and Babs got him a car. Tell him Bab sent you. That's
tell
what he probably
sent
told.
You. And maybe some Bab socks as
Bab
well.
Bab socks.
Threw it all in there.
Yeah, so they probably worked.
Those things go a long way.
Exactly.
Those
so
little
they're,
things.
They're tight, and yeah, like you said, it's worked out well. With 36 goals. I mean, has he set a career high? What's his career high? I think it's 39. Has he tied his career high? Because I'm asking our statistician here, Sam McKee, and he doesn't seem to have any stats in front of him.
Well, Sam's our producer. He's not our statistician. We do not have a full-time statistician here.
Well, should we hire one?
Well, I don't know, but we can all do our own thing. Like, you shouldn't ask questions that you don't know the answer as well.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this isn't like Alex Trebek. Alex Trebek knows the answers for Jeopardy. He doesn't. The guy doesn't just. Well,
First of all, you're cleaning all the papers here. You got mad at me, Dad. I'm sorry, Dad. Can you check, please, for us, Sam? Can
Sam
I ask him
check
to check, please? Because my phone's dying.
What, but earlier you kept throwing out all the papers here, too. You're getting this neat.
I'm just in a bad mood now.
The other part is about, think about Lou Lamoriello, because you bring up the point, Savvy, about what a great season they're having. When John Tavares signed with the Toronto Maple Leafs and Islander fans were in an uproar, you remember Lou Lamoriello's carefully worded statement? It was just that, good luck to John, blah, 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 you know, great things, but we didn't have team success. Like, you know, and it, for anyone else but Lou Lamoriello, that would be a zinger.
Yeah.
But really, Lou's just reminding everyone, no, nothing was accomplished here on the island.
Exactly.
And, you know, and that's exactly what he's done now. And he wasn't given the hot poker to Tavares that way. I think, you know, he got the whole thing in place, and now you're having team success.
Calm down.
And that supplants everything else.
He needs one to tie his career high. Would that ever hurt? If he gets one tomorrow night,
would they announce that on Long Island? Go, John Tavares has just tied his career high for goals, and then score a second one. That's right,
to beat it.
A second one. He set a career high for most goals in a season. So
anyway, back to the hot poker. You're right. You're absolutely right. Lou came in there and brought this calming influence, what he seems to do everywhere, and just exactly what you said. You know, John was a great player. John had great statistics. John is going to move on and do a great job. But at the end of the day, we never got anywhere with John.
No.
So let's move on and just see what we can do as an organization and fill the holes the best we can. And they've done that.
Well, we're going to move on. And when we come back, we'll hear from Andreas Janssen. When you talk about young players as far as performing well for the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, a 6-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Edmonton Oilers. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You think you have a lot to say about that game? You should hear these guys. This is the Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, at a empty Scotiabank Arena. We mentioned the 6-2 win for the Leafs over the Oilers. The Oilers family and friends were waiting a bit longer. Their flight, Savvy found out, was delayed going to Ottawa. I hope they seem to have left now. Hopefully safe flights for them and safe flights and getting out on time for the Toronto Maple Leafs heading to the island. But that still could be an issue. Who knows? We'll find out. But we heard earlier from John Tavares, and of course for the veteran. And let's hear from one of the kids. Boy, 19 goals he has now. Andreas Janssen has caught fire big time. 2 goals tonight, plus 1, 15 minutes, 38 seconds of ice time. He had 3 shots on net. Let's hear Andreas Janssen after one of the 3-star performances and the big 6-2 win over Edmonton.
So 4 goals for you in your last 4 games. Was tonight a continuation of what's gone right and what's felt right for you, Andreas?
about. I think in, you know, in our line we talk a lot and trying to support each other and try to take the fill the empty spot that's out there on the ice. And you know, yeah, now the puck have been going in on those few shots I had, so of course it feels nice, but obviously it's not going to continue in the same rate, but I'm going to keep working and try to score some more goals.
The way Travis went off, how much concern do you have for him, seeing him like that?
A lot. He's a good friend, and I don't want to see him out for a long time. And he's a good player, and we need him to this quick here. So hopefully it's not too bad.
A few games in a row now where you guys have scored a number of goals in a very short period of time. What's the feeling like on the bench when you seem to start playing downhill and everything gets rolling in a short period of time?
I feel like we have a lot of confidence out there. We know we haven't had the greatest start, but we know that if we keep continuing, keep grinding, we will create opportunities. And once someone start rolling, the other one follow that guy. So Petr Morlo lift us up there first with an important goal, and then Mitchie right away there. So after that, it was no stop. So I feel like every time we get a goal, we get more hungry to get another one.
There's been a fair amount of line juggling over the course of this season. Is this the most comfortable you are right now with the line?
No, I feel like I can play with a lot of players in here. We have a lot of skills, so a lot of fast players. So you know, I feel like it's whoever you play with. Of course, it's a little bit different with every player, but we have such a depth. So you know, it's. I think it's pretty easy to play with anyone out there.
How much do you want to win for JT tomorrow night, and what the game must mean to him tomorrow night?
I want to win it, of course, for him. But
for John?
Yeah, of course, for John. I want to win it.
Well, I want to win it. Andreas Janssen, there he is, as we talk about some of the great young talent with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Again, a 6-2 win for the Maple Leafs over the Edmonton Oilers. And, yeah, just as we... storylines dissect what was maybe the worst performance by a visiting team all season long here by the Edmonton Oilers here at Scotiabank Arena. There was also just the beauty of the skill of so many of the Leaf goals tonight, Andreas Janssen in both cases.
Yeah, he really did a nice job in both situations. The wrister was probably a weaker one that the goalie wish he had back. That was Stolarz, as we talked about. But the first goal, I love that goal. The cross crease patience on his hand, you know, gets that pass as he's flying through from Kapanen and just able to hold the puck and go to the backhand. Just a thing of beauty and something that I didn't think he had, especially in those first 10 games of the season where he was rushing everything. I wondered about him if he had that high patience in those tough areas. And he proved tonight, and he's proved in the last, I don't know, Gord, 10 games since his Charlie horse. What is a Charlie horse?
We still don't get us going again about that. Yeah, we delved into. We never found a definitive answer what a Charlie horse was.
Anyway, since his Charlie, he's been spectacular and really has found a home. Let's say with Matthews on the left side.
Yeah, absolutely. Mitch Marner, we know he's found a home. Joe was alluding to the getting the goal on a great pass from Zach Hyman. Normally, it's Mitch Marner making those passes, but he was the recipient and got a goal tonight for the Maple Leafs. What else did he do? He had a goal, assist, 2 points, plus one. 13 minutes, 9 seconds of ice time, one shot on net. So Mike Babcock kind of spread things out as far as it is when you're leading 6-1, 6-2. That way. Here is Mitch Marner after the win.
Mitch, what goes into back-to-back second periods with four goals? Is it something said in the period? Is it just an inner sense of confidence amongst this group that they can accomplish that if need be?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's happened a couple games now. We haven't been happy with the start we've had, but, I mean, our goalies have done a great job of keeping us in every game. And, you know, we regroup in here. We know how much better we can play. And, you know, our goal is to start every period fast, and I think the second and third we've done that, it's just now making sure we start the first the exact same way.
How important was that goal from Patty?
It's great. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a big goal for our team. That starts everything. That's a great play by him in front of the net, and I think he kicked it up to his stick. So, that's a hard play to do, especially with two D-man on you. So, that's a skillful play, and it was a big goal for us.
Skillful play by Zach too in the past game.
Yeah, no, I mean, it starts with Ron. That's a great pass by Ron, and nice look by Jaime, and he laid it in nicely there.
What runs through your mind when you see Travis go off the ice like that?
It sucks. Hopefully nothing bad happens. Hopefully he's here with us tomorrow, but same time, we got to make sure everyone gets healthy before, coming back and risking anything worse. So I think for him, it's just making sure that, he's not trying to force himself into a situation that can get worse. And it's an unfortunate thing. And, if something does happen, we don't have him for a couple games, it's going to be a big loss for us. But like I said, this team, if someone goes down, everyone's ready to step up and fill that spot.
What do you think tomorrow's game means to JT?
I have no idea. You got to ask him that. I mean, I'm sure he's not really focused too much on all the stuff on the outside. He just wants to go in there and play hockey like usual. And it's just not a hockey game. I'm sure he's just going to go in thinking that. It'll probably be something special for him for the first little bit. But I think after that, it's just going to feel like another regular hockey game. And, we got to come ready to play for him and keep the streak going.
There we go. Keep the streak going. Forgot that. Mitch Marner as well. Three consecutive wins for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And you just think they're on the verge of four possible losses in a row. And they turned it around Saturday against the Montreal Canadiens.
And it took them a while to get going, Gordon. And they were able to get back in that one. And ever since then, they haven't looked back. They beat a Buffalo team that you thought would have been real hungry, and they stomped on them, and the fourth line got a lot of that work done, and they move into tonight's game. They give up the first goal again, but after that, the Oilers should have got on that bus and tried to beat the Storm, because they weren't doing any damage here besides hurting themselves in Toronto tonight.
Well, we'll have Leafs Nation postgame after the New York Islander game tomorrow night, and look forward to that, because, of course, the return of John Tavares. But an ugly night tonight for the Edmonton Oilers, or a great night for Leaf Nation. It's a 6-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Edmonton Oilers. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard. More coming up locally on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.